I'm Rebecca Lowe from the IBA, and I'm delighted to have joining us at our London office Sir Robert Worcester. Sir Robert was the founder of the market research company Mori, now Ipsos Mori. He is also the deputy chair and trustee of the Magna Carta Trust and the chair of the Magna Carta 800th Anniversary Committee. Sir Robert, thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Sir Robert, just to start, could you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this issue?
In at the deep end is the answer to that. I've been on the Magna Carta Trust for over 20 years at the time I took this on, which was about 4 years ago. And the Master of the Rolls, the head of the civil law, is the, by charter, the chairman of the Magna Carta Trust. And its objectives are to perpetuate the memory and deepen the understanding of the Magna Carta and all it means to democratic societies all over the world. It's the most important export that Britain, England actually, has ever done because it affects the lives of over a billion people in over 100 countries in the world. And on the Wednesday, when he, the Master of the Rolls, asked me to take on this job, I thought I was taking on the British Committee, and having done the Jamestown 400th as co-chairman, 400th anniversary of the first permanent English-speaking settlement in the New World in Jamestown in Virginia, I thought I was taking on just Britain, and I thought, sure, piece of cake. And on the Friday, the Americans were there, the Australians were there, and he announced that that I was taking on the world. And I thought, do I say, oh, no, that's not what I agreed, or in for a penny, in for a pound, and I decided to take it on.
So you mentioned there that you think that the Magna Carta is Britain's most significant export. So tell us, why is it so significant?
Eminent jurists, a lot more eminent than I am, and I'm not a lawyer, have called it the greatest constitutional document ever written. It provided the basis of the rule of law, and those things still exist in the American Constitution, for instance, and in the constitutions of most Commonwealth countries, and many others indeed. I saw the German ambassador a couple of years ago at a dinner at Ditchley Park, at the meeting of the good and the great of these things. And I asked him, what's the salience of the Magna Carta in Germany? He said, it's the foundation of democracy. Everybody in Germany, actually, his word for word, everyone in Germany knows about the Magna Carta. It's the foundation of democracy. I'll never forget that response. It took me by surprise. Mm-hmm. And a month or so later, we had the Japanese ambassador and his wife staying with us over a weekend. And I asked the same question, and I got the same answer. So it's not just Britain and the United States that have their rule of law enshrined following the Magna Carta. And in the case of Articles 39 and 40, due process and trial by jury, and in 40, justice delayed is justice denied. Those things still exist in over 100 countries today and affect the lives and protect the lives of over a billion people. And where they don't happen, you've got tyranny, you've got genocide, and you've got the work of despots that exist today that act like they're still in medieval times.
There are those who say, such as Lord Phillips, who we spoke to last year at the IBA conference in Boston, that the Magna Carta is more myth than reality because King John had no intention of signing it. It was more about the rights of the nobility than the rights of the peasantry at the time. And it didn't stipulate then that it was about due process or an independent judiciary, or these ideas that we associate with the rule of law now. So what do you say to those
issues? Well, in the first instance, I hope he didn't say King John signed it, because he never signed it. He sealed it. Mm-hmm. But I think he was really stretching the point, because you can find in Article 39 a specific promise of trial by jury of your peers or the rule of the land. You can find in Article 40 the principles of justice delayed is justice denied. You can find in the Magna Carta six different references to freemen, and four of those references make it very clear it is for everyone. And that applies, again, to speak of Articles 39 and 40. There are many other articles. For instance, in this country, they still haven't, this country being Britain, they still haven't come round to what was promised by King John's agreement to sign it, whether he intended for it to continue or not. It promised a standard weights and measures, because at the time, publicans could put their beer, wasn't brewed by hops, and I guess it tasted pretty awful, but they drank a lot of it, and they could put it in any container they wanted. And as the current head of the Britain's oldest brewer told me, the pint was invented on June the 15th, 1215, when King John agreed standard weights and measures, and that's the pint. Courts were wherever the king was. So if you committed a crime in Kent and the king was in Northumbria, you had to go up to Northumbria at that time to be tried. And what's more, if you didn't pay the king an exorbitant sum, £1,600 in today's money, you wouldn't get a hearing at the court. Mm-hmm. And whether you got a fair hearing or not depended on the whim of King John, because he told the judges what to say.
The document, the original document, was annulled, though, wasn't it? Quite soon after it was sealed.
6 weeks.
What document are we really talking about when we talk about the Magna Carta today? Because there were a series of different iterations of it, weren't there?
Oh, yes, yes. The 1215 version, there are four still in existence. Two in the British Library, used to be in the British Museum. And in 1957, on my first visit to this country as a serving American officer coming from Korea back to the United States by what they called circuitous routing, because I wanted to stop in Britain on the way back, my first morning I went to the British Museum to see two things, the Magna Carta and the Rosetta Stone, because to me the combination of the rule of law enshrined in the Magna Carta and the Rosetta Stone signifying communication outside the village were the hallmarks of a civilized society. That was the beginning, to me, of civilization. I'm sure that scholars would argue with that, but that's what it means to me as a human being who know I'm protected by the very things that the barons argued. And it wasn't just about the barons, because as I say, of six references in the Magna Carta, four of them talk about free men. Now, I'm afraid women weren't included. I'm afraid slaves weren't included. And the other day, there was a young chap from the Commonwealth Secretariat who said, I don't think that we should be talking up the Magna Carta too much in the 800th anniversary, because it didn't protect the idea of universal suffrage. Well, it took 700 and some years to get universal suffrage, and I was infuriated when I moved to this country as an American still paying taxes to the United States, and I'd lost the right to vote. And so we got organized a organization called Tax Equity for Americans Abroad. Either give us the vote or let us quit paying taxes, because there's no taxation without representation. And I knew nothing about the Magna Carta 40 years ago when I was arguing the case up to the Speaker of the House, who said, "You don't have the vote, that's outrageous. I think we can do something about that." And we called ourselves Tax Equity for Americans Abroad because it was the Tea Party, the second Tea Party. And I pulled the tea bag out of my pocket and I waved it in front of him and I said, "Well, Mr. Speaker, if you don't give us the vote, we're gonna come and dump tea in your harbor." And he was the member of Congress for Boston. Cambridge, actually.
Well, you brought up America, so let's talk a little bit about that, because obviously the Magna Carta was a rallying call during the War of Independence.
Yes.
Was very much the foundation of the legal systems of the colonies originally. So is it even more significant for America, perhaps, than it is for the Brits?
There's not a day goes by, given the job I'm doing of chairing the 800th Anniversary Commemoration Committee, that somebody doesn't say, "I wish it was as well known here as it is in the United States." We haven't done the survey, but I always say I doubt that it is, because of the influx in the United States of Latinos coming from a different system of law. and coming from a different language. But wherever is English is spoken in the world, it is certainly important, and in many Latin American countries. But it's not so well known, because I was astonished, frankly, when I first did a survey to find out what the British knew or thought they knew about the Magna Carta, that 85% of the country was aware of the Magna Carta, but that's not much. I say not much because it's not very deep. Mm-hmm. But when I went to go on to ask over 1,000 people, representative sample, where they knew it was Runnymede, when they knew it was 1215 or in the 13th century, and they knew that that King John was the person who had to, was forced by the barons to seal the, and put into his law the Magna Carta, probably holding his nose at the time. Certainly he wasn't holding a pen.
So you dropped a few statistics there. Well, you took the 85%. I've got a couple here that drill down into this a little bit, and it's your own Ipsos Mori group. It said that more over 55s had heard of the Magna Carta than under 25s, and it was 95% of over 55s and 60% of under 25s. And I just wonder whether you feel that's a concern. Are we going to forget about the Magna Carta at some point?
I was disappointed to see those figures, not because they were too low, but because they were too high, because it doesn't give me much opportunity to prove that our commemoration committee has done its job if we haven't increased it. And when I did a straw poll of the committee, the highest guesstimate was 45% overall. And it was actually 85% overall, and as you say, 95% among those over 55. But it was in the school syllabus writ large at the time that the over 55s in this country were taught about it, because it's just not been in the timeline for over a decade, well, nearly two decades, in the school syllabus in this country. But the German ambassador, and indeed the Japanese ambassador, convinced me that because it's in their schooling, that nearly everybody has heard of it. But when we further drilled down, and we ask of the 85% overall who have heard of it whether what it represented, 60% knew it was the rule of law. Mm-hmm. Very impressive figure, and much higher than we guessed. On the other hand, we've tested it in Trinidad. About 10% have heard of it, and almost no one knows anything deeper than that. In that Commonwealth country, where the basic principles of the rule of law are enshrined in their constitution. I was also in Doha, in Qatar, a couple of months ago, and I found that there were, I haven't done a survey there yet, but I intend to do surveys all over the world to find out these figures and to see how high is up, because we really want to have a baseline now so that 50 years from now, when the commemoration is 850 years, that there'll be even higher figures than there are today.
So that's where the real challenge lies. It's the rest of the world. You think not the UK, not the US specifically, but all these other places where we're seeing echoes of the Magna Carta.
I don't take it that way. It's all a challenge for me as chairman of the 800th Anniversary Commemoration Committee, and for my entire committee, which has representatives from all over the world on it. An advisory board that, for instance, last year's Commonwealth president, the Prime Minister of Trinidad, is on that committee, as are others, people in the United States, people in Canada, and all over the world.
Mm-hmm. So you've touched on it just then, but do you feel that that there is a valid recognition of the Magna Carta in other parts of the world? You talked of some places where you think that there's a very low recognition. Are there other places that obviously there are resonances, echoes of the Magna Carta that you feel they should know more, that really there's work to be done?
I don't have the polling evidence yet, but I know it's very high in Australia particularly, who have their own copy of the 24 extant copies. One is in Canberra. And that raises automatically the profile of it. And it's actually in Canberra because that's the seat of government of Australia. And So people are more aware of it perhaps there than they are in Canada, but the Canadian, because you've got Quebec, but then the French have a high knowledge of it. One of the first speeches I was asked to give was to the English-speaking Union in Paris, in the Senate. And it was
so you're a governor of the English-speaking Union, is that correct?
I was a governor of the English-speaking Union, yes. I'm no longer in that job. I've pretty well set aside everything else I was doing to take on the Magna Carta. It's the biggest job I've ever had in my life, and I relish it.